Hey, Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, senior editor with Plugged In.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to the October 21st, 2009 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Thanks for joining us today.
In a moment, we're going to listen to an interview with actor Paul Herlinger.
But before we get to that, we want to remind you that our fan art contest for the Passages series has just a few days left.
That's right. If you've been listening to the Darien's Rise series, you already know that 60 years in the past, Odyssey kids Anna and Kyle were transported to the strange land of Maris. The problem is, we're not sure what that world looks like, and that's where you come in.
You can use pencils, paints, crayons, or a camera to show us your image of Anna or Kyle in the world of Maris. You could win a personalized map, plus a copy of the complete set of Darien's Rise.
Bob?
Passages, Darien's
Very
Rise.
Very good.
Check out the details online using the link at witsend.org/podcast. And hurry, we need to get your entries by this Saturday, October 24th.
Okay, the contest is cool and all, but I really want to get to the interview.
Don't worry, we're almost there. Actor Paul Herlinger played Wit for many years, beginning with The Search for Wit. In that episode, fans finally got to hear the beloved character speak again after a 2-year absence from the show.
Wait a minute. How could you possibly know that I have a black leather wallet that was given to me as a Christmas present?
Well, because I gave it to you.
What? But it's not possible.
Hi, Eugene. It's good to see you again.
Mr. Whitaker.
With Paul on the team, Wit finally had a voice again. And if you've heard our recent shows or podcasts, you know that Paul has decided to retire from the role after 13 years.
In this interview, Paul shares memories of his first years in radio, joining the Odyssey team, and even sheds some light on the mysteries of vocal foley.
Bob, what's vocal foley? You don't actually know what it is, do you?
Pretty sure it's a brand of refrigerator or something. Moving on.
Here's our interview with the great Paul Herlinger.
Well, Paul Herlinger, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, even if it has to be by the phone this time. All of the folks that are listening just want to get to know you a little bit better. So what I'd like to do over the next few minutes is just find out, you know, some parts of your life that nobody's ever heard about before.
Oh.
Now, in the official guide, you note that you started in radio in high school in New York. Why? What was going on to get you involved in radio in high school?
We had a unique situation. I was born and raised in New York City. I went to a technical, sort of a math science high school in preparation for what I thought was going to be a technical career. One of the English teachers in this particular high school in New York had a great idea. He decided instead of just teaching a regular English course, he would teach what he called a radio English course. And through that class, I found out that the New York City had a very unique workshop for students who came to audition to get into an all-city high school radio workshop. And what that meant was that 3 times a week we would go to a small FM station which belonged to the Board of Education in New York, and we would produce our own radio programs.
Mm.
So that's how I was in radio during my high school years.
So how did that spur off into your radio career? What was the first thing you started getting involved in radio?
This little station where our workshop met needed a full-time radio announcer. And I did that for 2 years before being drafted into the military. But then during those couple of years, I got more involved in radio around New York. There was a radio group that did radio dramas on a local station. And then we had a group, I don't know whether it's a national group or not, called Junior Achievement. It was for young people to get together and to do all sorts of creative things. And they also had a radio group, and we did some radio plays on yet another station in New York. So that was sort of how the ball got rolling.
Was there any sort of character that you were pigeonholed into because of the way your voice came across on radio?
Yeah, eventually I got kind of pigeonholed into doing more announcing narration sort of stuff.
You're about to enter a different place, and yet one that isn't so different. It's a dimension of sight and sound and of mind.
Or perhaps doing the kind of character that Wit is, sort of a warm, elderly gentleman.
Sure.
I guess there are certain characteristics in the voice that sort of help to pigeonhole you that way, and that's the way producers eventually look at you.
Yeah. Well, you went on to later do a lot of voiceover for documentaries and whatnot.
Yeah.
As well. Now, as I understand it, your wife Ilona also traveled the world creating documentaries.
It wasn't so much documentaries, David, that we did. We did travel shows. We traveled simply to show an audience a particular part, in this case, mostly of Europe, picking up stories about the people and what goes on, and that was it. So they were mostly travel shows.
Speaking of Ilona, tell the audience a bit more about her history. She's got an incredible story about escape from Europe in World War II that I think people would love to know more about.
Yeah, if I had a couple of hours, I could really go in detail. But no, the basic story is that she and her family lived in the little Baltic country of Estonia. And her father had been a freedom fighter for Estonia in years and years ago when the Russians were there. And so he was not very popular with the Russians, and they knew very well that once the Russians came back into Estonia that they might not be looked upon with great favor. So the Russians were only about a day away when she and her mom and dad just left their home in the capital city of Tallinn. They got on a boat and escaped. They barely escaped because they had been scheduled to get on yet another boat, and that boat left and was eventually blown out of the water by Russians. And if they had been on that boat, she wouldn't be here now. And eventually some good people here in the United States sponsored their coming over to the United States.
Now, speaking of Ilona, does she ever talk about what it's like to be married to Mr. Whitaker?
She was really concerned when Mr. Whitaker looked like maybe he was having a romantic entanglement there. And she decided that was not going to happen. You know, if it even got close, she was going to call you up and say, stop that. So,
have you had people stop you along the way and say, hey, you're that guy?
Yes. I had some particularly good experiences on the train to Los Angeles to meet with you. And there were a couple of occasions where people either recognized my voice, and they were very good at that, or they heard me talking about why I was going down to Los Angeles, and they overheard that I was part of Focus on the Family and Adventures in Odyssey. I met one family once who was on the train with me. It was a mom and dad, and I think it was two or three kids, and we met at lunchtime on the first day out, and I could not escape from them for the rest of the trip. they were just enamored of the idea of being on the train with Whit. You know, all my years in radio and in broadcasting, it's so rare to get feedback of what you did. People don't write about the good things they hear. They usually write about the bad things
exactly,
they hear.
Yeah.
And so here was a chance to to get some feedback from the audience that was actually listening to these programs. And that was a great experience. And it certainly gave me more energy and more delight about being part of the show.
Now, the last time we saw you, Paul, was actually during the live show. Not too long ago here at Focus on the Family, you teleconferenced in, and that was a really nice moment, I think, for all of the people that were at the live shows to see you and to be a part of it. How did that feel to you personally to experience the love and warmth that that you got during that moment?
Well, it was the same fulfillment feeling, a little bit of a feeling that I've been doing a good thing when the audience reacts as they did.
Let's see if this works. Johnny, hi, everyone.
It was just a good feeling to know that there was still a lot of people out there that were still listening and were still appreciative of having Whit around as a character. And any performer loves to know that his audience is appreciating what he's doing.
What are the things that you especially enjoyed about being in just the studio? Were there components of that, things about being in the studio with the actors that you really enjoyed?
Oh, absolutely. I was brought up to be able to act with the other actors in the scene. And so I got used to and spoiled by the fact that we could be there and act in a scene together and not have to record our voices separately, as is done quite often today. And I think that was one of the things that made the transition, that made my coming into Odyssey so good.
How does it feel to be back in your domestic environs, Mr. Whitaker?
Well, I've just gotten here, Eugene, but so far, it feels pretty good.
I knew I was going to be in the studio acting opposite other actors instead of just saying my lines and hoping that somewhere down the line the editor would put my lines in next to somebody else's lines. I think the kind of thing that we as actors can do best is to portray our characters in a particular situation, and if we don't have somebody to play off of, I don't think we portray those characters quite as well.
Mm. In terms of the kind of things that we ask you to do in the studio, one of the things I think that telegraphs a visual image to the listener is what we call vocal foley. Would you explain that to the listeners?
Yes. Foley is simply sound effects. And usually it has to do with maybe a door closing, maybe some footsteps. And vocal foley is something that I had never come across until I got to Odyssey. And it came about because your engineers and your sound designers are so good at creating a real scene, at creating every part of a scene besides just the actors in the scene. And it comes down to a smaller thing as Whit sits down. Well, I never thought of a sound effect for sitting down, but
it does help communicate the visual, doesn't it? It helps you see it, really, is what.
Oh,
it,
absolutely, and yeah. I understand perfectly why our sound designers said, you know, give us a little vocal foley as you're sitting down.
Okay, let's just do a test here and see your versatility in vocal foley, because you have had 14 years of it. Okay, give me the vocal foley of a door close.
You gotta be kidding.
Oh, come on, play with me here.
Vocal foley of a door closing, yep. Okay.
Shaking someone's hand.
Oh.
Vocal foley of picking up a pen. That's a big pen.
You're right, I use heavy pens.
Well, I think people get the paces we put you guys through in this studio.
Oh, yeah, and I'm so glad you do, because having listened to the shows over the years, I don't appreciate those little things until I hear the end product, and it makes so much difference when you hear it played back. Mm. You can just feel the walls around you. You can see the chairs and tables. You just feel everything in the scene.
Say, how long has it been since we've been in the studio together? Do you know?
Oh, well, probably about a year. You mean you and I?
Yeah, the last thing we did, I think it was the Truth Chronicles, right?
Yeah, well, that's longer than a year then.
Yeah, maybe a year and a half or so. What have you been doing to occupy your time?
I and Ilona are both busy trying to keep up a garden on this end, spend time in reading, and love to do crossword puzzles, and of course doing some radio work and some television work on the side. I'm not out there looking for it, but occasionally somebody says, hey, would you do this? And between Ilona and myself, we're grateful for the good free time that we have together, so it's working out pretty well so far. And Ilona says hi, by the way.
Oh, and hi back to Ilona.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Paul. Thanks for
joining
us, too. I
appreciate it. All right, David.
It.
Thanks to everybody there.
Told you vocal foley wasn't a refrigerator.
Yeah. Anyway, we here at the podcast would like to thank Paul for his years of work here at Adventures in Odyssey. And he's a good friend, and he will be dearly missed.
Most definitely. And it's nice to know that we've got a new voice of Whit. You know, I'm not sure I could wait 2 years again.
That's right. Our listeners can hear Andre Stoika as Whit in, Jess?
Passages, Darien's Rise.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now airing on Adventures in Odyssey, on the radio, and online. You'll also be able to hear him in the new Album 51 episodes coming soon.
You know, if you'd like more information on the three devoted actors who have brought Whit to life, check out the Whit Transition podcast on our website. There you can also find details about some of Paul Herlinger's last work for us in the Best Small Town album. We're at witsend.org/podcast.
By the way, if you enjoy podcasts...
And who doesn't?
There's another one you should know about, the official Plugged In podcast. Every Thursday, we take a look at what's going on in entertainment and pop culture. For example, on this week's show, we'll review the new movie, Where the Wild Things Are. So check us out at pluggedin.com, or you can get there by clicking the link on the Odyssey podcast page.
You know, I love the new Plugged In podcast, except for the fact that I'm not on it.
Well, not yet anyway.
Ooh, that sounds promising. But in the meantime, that's it for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.